Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.
We got our 5x5 and we are pumped. Who's been to a 5x5? Hey, they next level. If you've never been to a 5x5, this will be your life-changing moment. You get to listen to five people for 5 minutes, and if they go over the time, you're allowed to throw something at them. How cool is that? I'm only joking. That's not how 5x5 goes. But we have got some amazing people, and this is how it's going to go. We're going to start with Sam Zondag. So have we got the 5 minute clock ready? So we're gonna do a 5 minute countdown every time someone comes up. And straight after Sam, we're gonna have Chris Berry. Then we're gonna have Graham Nickel. Then we're gonna have Saki. And then we're gonna have Carol. So I'm introducing them now so they can just come up. As your 5 minutes is up, you need to bring your talk to a close. And then, of course, that's a tap in for the next speaker. But the first reason we choose these people, first of all, is because they're awesome people. Okay. We choose great people to bring a message because we understand no matter what they say, it's all about who they are in Christ. And they could say stuff, but if you can catch who they are, you could go to a whole nother level. But what's amazing is I've heard what they're going to say. So you're not only going to have awesome people that you can become like up here, they're also going to say some awesome stuff. So it's just a matching up of amazingness. Hey, come on, just like a great ingredient. We're awesome cooks up here. Hey, so what I want you to do is if you want to get more out of what these people are saying, if they say something great, encourage them. Because what you're going to do is you're going to lean in and you're going to pull out some awesome stuff. And if we did some spiritual surgery, you'd find solidness, faithfulness, commitment, love for God, love for the church on the inside of these people. That's why we've chosen them and we're pumped. Let's welcome Sam up. Let's give her a big round of applause. Come on.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm just going to start straight away. So a while ago, I was praying, but I was actually complaining to God. And I was like, because I've moved around quite a bit in the past few years and moved churches quite a few times. And I was just like, God, why are you moving me around so much? Every time I feel like I've found home somewhere, you move me again. So he didn't answer me straight away, but a few days later, he gave me such a cool answer, and he said, Sam, I want you to be so at home in me that you take home wherever you go. And I was so challenged by that, because he was saying, like, don't go into an environment, like, trying to find home the whole time, but go into an environment trying to see how can I make this home for other people. So I was so challenged by that. And then as I was thinking about this concept of home, I came across the scripture in Ephesians 3, and it's verse 16 to 17. And it says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he'll empower you with inner strength through his spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. So I was just thinking, like, the first thing, how amazing is it that the God of all creation, the one that created everything that we can see, the one that's completely holy, decided out of all the places he could live, he wanted to come and live inside of our hearts. And he wanted to be as close to us as he possibly could. And then I was also just thinking, like, on this home concept, the Holy Spirit isn't coming to us and saying, okay, we're going to sign a six-month lease. I'll move into your heart for a little while, but if I realize this heart isn't everything I thought it was from the beginning, like, I know where the back door is, like, I'll just slip out quietly. But he comes to us and says, I want to sign a covenant with you that I'm gonna live in you and with you for all eternity. Like, I want to be close to you every single day. Yeah, so I was just like, how amazing is that? And then I was also just thinking how Jesus knows that when he moved into our hearts in the beginning, that he knows he's moving into a bit of a mess. Like, we all know that we're still working through a lot of things. So he knows he's moving into quite a mess, but he moves in with a heart to restore. So he wants to move into every single room of our hearts or every area of our lives. And he wants to mend the broken things, and he wants to help us take up out the trash, whether it's sin or unforgiveness or regrets. He wants to help us take those things out. He just wants to repair every area. And even the dark areas, you know, like the right at the bottom of the cupboard where no one else sees, guilt or shame that we might be carrying. He wants to go into those places and bring his light and his life and his healing. That's the first part that he wants to, as he lives in us every day, as we trust him with every area of our lives, that he brings restoration. And then also just how the first part of that scripture spoke about his glorious and unlimited resources. And so when the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts, he brings with him all of his unlimited resources. And so, like, he's just the best housemaid ever, because he stocks up your house with all his unlimited resources. So it doesn't matter which season you're going through, you can always gain access to all of his resources because he's living with you. Just in closing, just how cool it is that God wants to live in us and make our hearts a home where he can live and bring life freely. But at the same time, as he's doing that, he makes our hearts a place that we want to welcome other people into. So he makes a place where, like, he increases our capacity, basically, to love and to take care of people because he's been restoring. Just the bottom line, when God makes his home in me, I can be a home for others.
Okay, I've just lost 20 seconds because of your cheering. Put it back. So, who here loves the Bible? I love the Bible. The reason I love the Bible is I get to read it on a daily basis and take a memory lane and look at people that have trailblazed before me, who have done great miracles in the name of God, who have preached in his name, who have healed the sick, who have just led good lives with God. Hey, and they were ordinary people, apart from that one great man who was God in human flesh. So I just love getting an opportunity to study and read the word and get to see the highlights and some of the lowlights of those people. But who here knows we don't read the Bible and get every single day of Jesus or Peter's or Paul's life, hey? Like, there are gaps missing. And, like, our life is like that too. If I asked you to tell me about your life, you'd probably tell me when you got married. You might tell me when you finished school. You might tell me the day you met Christ. But there's a lot of other days in between those days that you're going to miss out. But none of that, in Psalm 139, the Bible actually says that God has ordained every single day of our life. As he knitted us and formed us in our mother's womb, he had seen every day, and stored it in his book of life. So I want to talk to you tonight about being empowered to live life in the middle. Because it's really vital that we expect the miracles, that when we're in those miracles, that we give them everything we can. But actually, our life is the sum total of every day in between. So there are three keys, I believe, to living life in the middle. The first is to tell our story. Revelation 12:11 says that by the blood of the Lamb and by the sharing of our testimony, we overcome the evil one. In Psalm 107 verse 2, it says that the redeemed of the Lord should share their story. And sharing our story does two things. It reminds us, because who here knows that we were born to die and go to a place that none of us want to think about now, but actually that's where we were going. The day we were born, that was our destination point. And God, and I don't know your story, and maybe you grew up in a great Christian home, maybe everything was comfy for you, but even you, on the day you made the decision, there was a change of your eternal destination. So telling our story reminds us every day that today is a miracle, because today I am heaven bound and not going to the grave forever. Yeah. Yeah? My story, at 24 years old, I almost died of HIV. I had been living a hectic life of promiscuous sex for many years. I was dating many men, and God superseded and stepped in. So standing here on this stage or saying goodbye to my wife when she goes to work is a miracle, because God, the devil wanted me dead, and God stepped in and said, that is my boy. I've ordained every day of his life, and I've seen the end before you saw the beginning, Mr. Devil, and I'm going to change him, and I'm going to alter his trajectory. The second point I want to talk to you about tonight is holiness. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we are to be holy as he is holy. And in Ephesians 4, the word of God says that as our attitudes and our mind are renewed by the Spirit, that we are able to lead transformed lives. So, I don't need to stress and strive about living an empowered life. My natural was born 35 years ago, and then 10 years ago, super was placed on top of that. So I get to live a supernatural, empowered, ordained, righteous, holy, inspiring life every single day, not because of my strength, not because of my power, but because of the Spirit that lives in me and the Spirit that lives in every single one of you. And thirdly, we need to expect the miracle, because there will be times where we will be the person that will heal the lame, raise the dead. We can expect that. The Bible tells us. Peter, after the upper room moment, walked out and saw a man he'd seen every day for years in the temple. And he said, silver and gold I have none, but get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And that's the same power we carry. So church, I would encourage you all today, expect the miraculous, but in between, live in the middle.
So, are you empowered? Do you feel empowered? I'm empowered. God has created in us, each and every one of us, different gifts and talents. And he has qualified us and equipped us to use those. So, be empowered. Two stories in the Bible that I'm impressed by and that I look out for. The story of Moses and Joshua. Moses was asked to lead his people, and he came up with every excuse under the sun. And he said, God, I can't even speak. How are people going to listen to me? But Moses was empowered, and so he led the people. Joshua got to the river, and in his own mind, he's thinking, how are we going to cross this? Because a lot of times we think, how are we going to do it? We don't think God is going to help us. Our first thought is, where's our power? We got to do it with God's power. So, in Joshua, Joshua 3, verse 8, if we've got that. Joshua was told by God, get the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and walk into the middle of the river. And he's looking at this raging river, and he's thinking again, how? As their feet touched the water, the river stopped flowing. We have to take that first step, and then God will bless us, because we are empowered. Many years ago, I started working for myself, and I would ask God to help me fill my diary with appointments, because if I didn't have appointments, I couldn't work, I couldn't pay the bills. As soon as my prayer finished, I would turn, switch on the internet, go to the newspaper, and I would try and help myself. And then one day God said to me, do you want me to help you, or do you want to help yourself? And I'm going, wow. Okay. I needed faith. You got to have faith. And at that time, I realized I didn't have faith as big as that mustard seed. God gives us that faith, and it's not always difficult to move forward in that faith. This is quite hard rendering. God's got our backs, okay? God equips us. God qualifies us. God brings people in our lives who are qualified and equipped as well to stand with us. By my side, my beautiful wife, Sandy. We do kids' church together. We do salt together. God has equipped each and every one of us. Even if you want to do sandwiches for the kids at West Riding, or you want to be hope for an addict, or you want to be a shoulder to lean on for somebody at Salt, God has equipped each and every one of you. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith we understand. That's what God says. So don't try and work out how you're doing it on your own. Do it by faith that God has given to you and equipped you to do it. So just in closing, where you're sitting, I want each of you just to lift your right foot. Do you feel empowered? You are empowered. Now say with me, God, use me. We have to take that first step, okay? You don't say to God, bless me first and then I'll do it. Lift your foot, use me, God. He will put it down in the right spot. Okay. Amen.
Yo, can we go home now? Wow. Good evening, guys. They gave me this. We're doing the series Empowered, and the first thing that came to my mind was empowered through dependence. And we want to live lives as empowered people. But I want to ask you, where is that power come from? Where is it coming from? What is your power source? And in Psalms 121, verse 1, do they have it up there? It says, I look to the mountains, where does my help come from? And then it carries on and it says, my help comes from the Lord. And I want to ask you, who are you relying on for your power? I want to look in the Bible, in Exodus, we have Moses. He was in the desert with the people. And in Exodus 33, verse 15 to 16, Moses is talking to God and he says, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people if you do not go with us? I just want you to realize that without God, you are nobody. Without God, you're just a regular person and you have no power. Where is your power coming from? And I like to sing. And I thought about a song. This whole thing, and it's a song called Lean On Me. Well, it says, lean on me when you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll stop there. but you know, God is the only person who is reliable for you to lean on. Without God, you can't lean on what people say to you. Because people may say good things about you, but people may say bad things about you. It's unreliable. But God is a good God. And God loves you. And God has a great plan for you. So you can lean on Him at any moment. I had it in my notes here. It says, the people of Israel, Moses understood something. He understood that he was a nobody. He understood that without God, he can't lead these people. And he understood that without God, these people, they're going to die out in the desert. And yeah, so what do we do with this? In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do they have it up there? Okay. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then it carries on. Do I have number 7? And then it says, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Trust in God, guys. Lean on him. Because without him, we're just people. But with him, we have power. Amen.
Good evening. Can the team come up? This is my iPad. My iPage. So we have an amazing church, amen? And, you know, we have an opportunity, 3 times if you like, on every Sunday to be in God's presence and actually be empowered through our position in praise. That's what I want to focus on tonight, is your position that God allows you to get in praise, because that empowers you and that'll change your life. And every time, you may not even realize it, that every time that we come together and we have an opportunity to sing songs, we are actually declaring God's truth. We're declaring what is true about him, and we're declaring what he's saying about us. And it says that God's word is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon that can cut through anything. God's truth is a double-edged sword that can cut through bone and marrow. It can cut away the enemy's lies. It can bring clarity into your life. And, you know, that's what I've experienced through praise. I've experienced that I've been empowered through my position in praise. And, you know, I want to share that my parents are here tonight. And happy Father's Day to my dad. When I was a baby, my dad was completely deaf. And he couldn't even hear me cry when I was a baby. He was completely, completely deaf. And, you know, we've grown up as kids. We're 3 kids. And we grew up going to church pretty much since we were born. So like, if we were born like a week old, we would have grown up under the pews, grown up in God's presence. And even though at that stage my dad couldn't hear anything, he would be so determined that every Sunday we would be in church, just because he valued God's presence so much. And, you know, I have such like a sense of appreciation and value for God's presence. And I want to say, if we can catch that tonight, that even if you could just get a sense of what it's like to be in God's presence tonight and know that that's the best place that you could ever be. So in Acts, I brought tissues because I often cry if I speak. So in Acts 16, you guys know the story. Most of you will know about Paul and Silas. They were actually in prison. So they had been beaten. They had been flogged, but they were in prison. And from verse 25 it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And, you know, this probably wasn't the first time that Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison, but they were extremely, you know, just ready to praise God. And they hadn't just like had a hiding with a wacky spoon, but they had seriously been beaten. They were in pain, but yet they were able to praise God. And I had such a sense when I was thinking about this that, you know, our default when we're in pain, God is saying that we can turn our prison into a praise pit. This can actually be an opportunity for us to praise Him, but it's a supernatural thing that needs to happen. This is not something that we can do in our own power. And that's why when you begin to get into a situation, if you are in a situation where you feel you can't praise God, if you're feeling like you're chained down, that you're actually in a prison, I want to encourage you, start praising God for who He is, because that's actually going to shift how you see Him. That's going to shift where you're putting God in your life, and actually you're going to begin to operate in a supernatural way that you never could in your own power and your own strength. That needs to be your default, that you'll actually praise God. So I want to say, when things are coming up against you, even from tomorrow, even from tonight, maybe you're going home and things are really, really difficult for you, I want to challenge you and say, take this challenge up where you actually start praising God. What I did one morning, and I do it occasionally, I gym every morning, and I needed to just get my mind more focused in praising God. So I actually made a playlist of praise songs. And because the whole family's sleeping, I put my earphones in, and like the dog looks at me weird, but I walk around the house and I'm praising God while I'm getting ready. And so I promise you, by the time like I'm ready to go to gym, I feel like my mind is in a different place, because I'm seeing God for who He is and I'm believing His promises. So I'm telling you now that even if you're feeling like you are in a place that you can't praise God and my time is up, but we're going to go into a time of worship now. I'm telling you now that your toughest situation can be your biggest and greatest breakthrough. And just a thought for you guys, that in the Bible, in Psalms 100, speaks about praise as being a gate. And in Revelations, it says that the gates are made of pearl. And I've said this before to you guys, but pearl is formed under great pressure and great irritation. You will never again on this side of heaven get an opportunity to worship in the pain that you face. Those irritations, those painful moments when you have to choose to praise God, that is when a gate is formed. A gate that is going to help you open up to the presence of God. And just a thought as well, that not only is that going to be a gate where you can enter into God's presence, but you're going to make a way for other people to enter into His presence. So won't you stand? Won't you stand with me? What we're going to do is we're going to have a time of worship, and I'm also going to invite you tonight, because maybe you've got a hunger to want more of God, and maybe you've never opened your heart to Jesus, to a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's where it's going to start. Is for you saying, Jesus, I need more of you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. That's going to be the first step tonight. Everything starts with a decision that you can make in this place tonight. And I believe God wants everyone to make some kind of response tonight in this place. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.